I'm Kelly Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You know, this year's Southwest Believers Convention was an amazing time of being in God's presence and growing in His Word. My dad, Kenneth Copeland, opened our eyes to see the truth about the power of our words spoken in faith. Well, today we're going to find out how faith can move the mountains out of your life. Remember to download the free study notes for this week. You can go to kcm.org/notes. Use them now, follow along every day, and then later use them for your own personal study. They've got scriptures, everything you need, pastors, to preach a great message if the Lord tells you to. We don't mind. And partners, as you know, KCM is celebrating 50 years of ministry this year. So let's take a look at some of the milestones from the first decade, and I'll be back after the message to pray with you.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 50 years of ministry.
Amen. And I'll tell you right now, just like God told me back there 21 years ago in Arkansas riverbed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when He commissioned me into this ministry, He told me back there then, He said, I want you to preach this gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And that's what we're doing. Not all that many years ago, the Lord said to me, I am coming so soon. I want this uncompromised word of faith and the message of it on every available voice, all media. Mark chapter 11, if you please. We're going to be talking about mountain moving faith. Praise God. All right, 11:11. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When He had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening spent all day there was come, He went out unto Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, He spoke to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And He taught. Now, the mission was not the cleansing of the temple. I want you to get this. The mission was not the cleansing of the temple. The mission was to preach and teach the word. Mm-hmm. That's what you do to get rid of unbelief. You teach the word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is very, very vital information. Amen. Amen. Because you and I have the same faith. We have the same spirit. Amen. It'll work just exactly the same way in here this morning that it worked anywhere in Jesus' ministry on the earth. Hallelujah. Missed a good place to say amen right there. Amen. Glory. All right. But he had to clean that temple. Amen. He had to clean that place out for the word to be preached in power. Amen. Now, he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. When evening was come, he went out of the city, so he went back to Bethany. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, the thing that is special to see right here, faith was working the moment he released it. The word was working. Faith was working the moment he released it. But it didn't hit, it didn't affect the leaves first. Huh? Spiritual things always go to the root. Always. Let me say this to you and think about this. Before you and I were born again, just like all other people, we were outside in people. Particularly if you like Gloria and I, we needed everything, you know, and somebody else had it all. We didn't have anything. And so this causes people to want to go out there and get it if they have to take it away from somebody. But once you get born again, we become inside out people instead of outside in people, because the kingdom of God now is on the inside of you, and that's where everything you need is in the kingdom, and it's the invisible power of faith that'll draw it out of the kingdom and manifest it in your hand. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, yeah, thank you, Lord. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus,
I am
God inside minded. Not just God in heaven minded. God is in me now. Hallelujah. Become God inside minded. We get to the place when you're praying, you're not seeing God way off over there somewhere. No. He's right here. He's right here. Whoa. Know ye not your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost? He said, I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They be my people. Hallelujah. Ooh, my goodness, you can preach on that for a while. May do it. Now then, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, now notice what Jesus' response to that was. Have faith in God. Now your King James reference will say, have the faith of God. Other translations say, have the God kind of faith. Well, which is correct, all of them. Amen. Have faith in God. Well, Brother Copeland, I sure would like to. He didn't say like to. He said have it. Well, I sure do want it. He didn't say want it. He said have it. Amen. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have it. It's in you right now. It was born in you when you got born again. That's the force that caused the new birth to take place. Amen. Now then, a little bit further here. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Not doubt where? In his heart. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now notice this. Shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Whatsoever he saith. Not whatsoever he believeth, but whatsoever he saith. You can believe, you say, well, you know, I believe that. I just believe that. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe he's the healer. I believe that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do. I believe that. And never say it, and it'll never come to pass. Because with the heart, the spirit man, the inner man, God is a spirit. And you and I are spirit beings. And being spirit beings, we have the same capacity to do spiritual things that God has. We're created in his likeness. See, we have spiritual capacity about us. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, now, Brother Copeland, you know, That faith stuff doesn't work for me. Well, now for one thing, it just did. Because you've been having what you say and you said it don't work. See, this is spiritual law. It works in the positive, it works in the negative.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So you just, if people would just think a minute. And just think for just a moment. You would never say that it doesn't work because you just really call Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, a liar. Because he says it does.
All right. Amen.
And he said, whosoever shall say.
That's what he said.
That's what he said. Those are spiritual laws. And you get in contact with those laws, they work. They'll work if you've been born again 5 seconds, if you've been born again 5 years, 50 years. You may be just probably the lousiest example of a Christian there is, but if you get a hold of that spiritual law, it'll work for you. Because it's not based on your conduct, it's based on Jesus' conduct. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, let me back up here a little bit. Amen. And make sure I'm on track. Now, this faith, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, that's the process from verse 22 to verse 25. That's the classic teaching on faith by Jesus. Amen. That is the way the faith of God works. Now, when you try to I don't know. I've done it. My goodness. I just ball it up and all that. But it is so simple. You have to have help to misunderstand it. You understand? Amen.
Amen.
And that's very, very simple. Yeah, but brother, don't start whining around. Just look at what the man said and say what the man said and do what the man said. And the man will do what he said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I've been guilty of that, and I'm having to work on it this morning. The integrity of the written word of God, just like it is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now then, mountain moving faith. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, please. Now, faith is the substance, the cross reference says, the ground or confidence. One translation said it is the title deed of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, things that are visible, were not made of things that do appear. So now, what is mountain moving faith? Mountain moving faith is a spiritual force. It is spiritual substance of things hoped for. Now then, thank you, Lord. Who then has this mountain moving faith? Let's go back over there to Mark 11. Let's look at that 23rd verse again. I want that to really, I want just a mental snapshot of it. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Who has this mountain moving faith? Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you haven't done that, you need to do that before dark tonight. And look at that very carefully. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He just called your body holy. Now, your body is a holy thing in the eyes of God. I mean, Jesus bled and died for the healing of the thing. Amen. Let's continue to read here. And be not conformed to this world, But you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man or every person that is among you. Well, we already found out who you is. All in Rome called to be saints, called to be born again. Don't let the word saint throw you. That doesn't mean you have to have so many miracles and all that. No, no. The word translated saint actually means to sanctify or to separate unto. So when you got born again, what happened? We were delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. See what happened in that action there? That was when you were separated unto, amen, and the King James translation calls you a saint. So accept it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because he's not talking about the way you really look. He's talking about the way he sees you. And if you look at yourself through that blood, brother, I'm telling you, you look just a whole bunch better than you did before. Now notice this. Notice it. This is part of that. Not to every man among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man among you. Now, if you come from Rome, that's fine. If you come from Fort Worth, Dallas, if you come from Lima, Peru, you come, I don't care, Maricabo, Venezuela, I don't care where you're from. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, glory to God, then he's dealt unto you the measure of faith.
Before we get into today's message, here are some highlights from KCM's 50 years of ministry. Every milestone was a victory for the gospel. We've had the privilege of being a part of sharing Jesus, our Savior, with millions of people around the world, all for the reason of touching lives and changing destinies for Jesus Christ.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 50 years of ministry.
Never seen and never known. And I've not done anything in secret. Any man that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'll show you ways that'll astound the world. I've done it in the past and I'll do it in the future. Don't you remember in my word, saith the Lord, that I said when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll take all that's mine and show it unto you. And all that the Father has is mine. And I say again, he'll take what is mine and he'll show it unto you. He's come with an assignment to show you and to teach you and to train you.
Mark chapter 11, and for just a moment here, in order to do what the Lord has instructed me to do tonight, I want to look at this 23rd verse. Well, the 22nd verse, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whether you and I realize it or not, that is a spiritual law. The scripture says, by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. That's the law of faith. That is also the law of fear. Because fear is twisted faith. Fear is faith in the ability of a dangerous animal to hurt you, so you're afraid of that animal. It's faith in that animal's ability to do you harm. Can you see it? What we know as fear was originally Adam's faith. And it got twisted, wicked, twisted, turned 180 degrees, opposite. Now, whether you realize it or whether you don't, what surrounds you today, what a lot of people think that what the devil's been doing, but actually it's the product of what you've been saying. Well, of course, you open the door to him. But you are today what you said yesterday. You have surrounding you today what you said yesterday, because you have what you say. That's just the spiritual law, amen, that governs. So, to understand how the force of faith works is vitally important. And I've had people say, well, Brother Copeland, why do you preach about faith so much? Well, you can't get saved without it. And you can't please God without it. And we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't walk the Christian walk without it. Amen. And it is by faith we understand that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And we're supposed to know how it works and live in it, live by it. Have our lives sustained by it. The just shall live by faith. Amen. And besides that, you can't teach on anything without winding up on faith. How are you going to teach on healing without coming to faith? How are you going to teach on the laws of the Spirit without coming to faith? Because it works by faith. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And besides that, it's fun. Yeah. Amen. You can just get completely excited about this, because it's nowhere near the mystery that it used to be. Mark 11, are you there? Let's look at verse 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter calling, remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Now, they just saw him demonstrate that. Notice that it says in verse 13, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, how far is afar off? Well, it's far enough away you couldn't see that there wasn't any figs on the thing. So it wasn't just a few feet away. Jesus answered and said unto it. He talked to the tree. This is very important. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 9 words. And didn't say anything else. No idle words. 9 words. He spoke the desired end result. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very carefully here. Words are the most powerful things in this universe. This is a word-created universe. It is a word-upheld universe. It is a word-controlled environment. And you can't get away from that. You can't change that. But you can and should choose the words under which you live. You have a choice. Most people don't know that, so they just say anything, you know, that comes out their mouth. But you still have what you say. The spirit man, your inner, the real you, the real you, the eternal part. By your spirit, you contact God. By your soul, you contact the intellectual world. Your mind, your emotions, and so forth. And then with the physical body, you contact this natural physical world through the 5 physical sense gates. The spirit man also, for lack of a better way to say this, you have spiritual guts the same as you have physical guts. You have faith, that's a spiritual force. Wisdom, that's a spiritual force. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, let patience have her perfect work, that you be entire wanting nothing.
Yes.
Gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance. Well, Brother Copeland, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All of those are spiritual forces working on the inside of you. Amen. And the Word of God, man does not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you ever stop to think about the capacity of a human being has the capacity to hear every word out of the mouth of God? I was so startled one afternoon. Oh, this hadn't been but, I guess a couple of years ago. And I was just meditating along these lines and the spiritual capacity. You remember the madman at Gadara? The spiritual capacity of that man. Now, there was only one spirit that possessed him. Jesus spoke to that ruler of the darkness of this world and said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. That spirit came back and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? You come to torment us before our time? And that's the last thing he said. And he was gone. Then all the devils besought him. Thousands of them. We don't want to leave this country. Think of the spiritual capacity of one man. How many demons and devils and all that activity? Well, I guess so. A human being has the spiritual capacity to contain God Himself. Think about it. When you got born again, think about it. Think about what happened. My. Hey. Yeah, and the Lord said to me one time, He said, Kenneth, I could have filled you with an angel. He said, I've got some good ones. And I thought, what? He said, well, what do you think a demon possessed? What do you, a man that Satan has possessed? He's a fallen angel. And I caught on to what he was saying. He said, I didn't fill you with an angel. I didn't trust you to anybody but me. I filled you with myself. Doesn't that thrill you? Spiritual capacity of a born-again human being is limitless. Hallelujah. That just gives me a thrill. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you following me now? Now, I want you to see that because, listen, when you make certain decisions in the natural, you cause your physical body to begin functioning. Things you're not even aware of begin to happen. You just make a decision that I'm going to sit down and eat this. You just make that decision and all of a sudden, all this stuff starts happening. I mean, your body's getting ready for, you know, here it comes, brother. Man, let's get ready here. He's gonna do it. Yeah, he's gonna do it. Look out. Amen. Well, the moment you speak, your spiritual inner man comes alive. Your mouth is the start button. Like one man said, this is a voice-activated system. And it's true. That's right. Nasser Siddiqui said that. A voice-activated system. That's the way faith is released. That's the way fear is released. That's the way love is released. That's the way hate is released, is by words. Words that you believe. And you speak them. And they'll either bring life or death. They'll either bring blessing or cursing. The scripture said, blessing and cursing ought not be coming out of the same mouth. Amen. And when you notice, people don't realize that because the Bible is the only place you're going to find the truth about this. The truth of faith, the truth of words and their power and how they work. And you stop and just think about this for a minute. Words are spiritual containers. Amen. When you speak a word that is filled with faith, or a word that is filled with fear, it either releases the power to deliver or the power to destroy. Amen. I was preaching down in south part of Texas years ago, back first beginning years of this ministry. And this lady said, Brother Copeland, I want to ask you a question. She said, there's something that just puzzled me. She said, my family, there was a car that ran a stoplight and just T-boned us, hit us on the side, and cut our car in half. Such an impact. She said our whole family was scattered all over the infield between the two roads there. She said the number of the bones in my body were broken. She said my little boy's head was broken open and his brain was exposed. And she said we were a mess. But she said my husband was not injured. We all lived and he died. Now, why? I said, I don't know. I can't tell you why. But I said, let you and I agree, and God will reveal why that took place. Now, see, as long as you're just kind of just cruising along and your words don't have all that much strength to them. They're not full of the words of God. They're not full of anything but, you know, hot air. They don't do much. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, you are justified by your words. You're condemned by your words. Amen. And you will stand judgment for every idle word. Now, maybe we get time to talk about idle words later. But that's how important words are. As the week went by, and then on into the next week, I'm teaching right on these same scriptures here. You have whatsoever you say, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them, and so forth and so on. And we, having the same spirit of faith as it is written, we have believed, therefore we speak. Whosoever believes in his heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead and confesses him as Lord with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. The faith is released in the words. That causes the action. Amen. Well, I kept talking about that, and after about middle to latter part of the second week there, she came to me after one of the morning sessions. She said, Brother Kenneth, I got it. I know why. She said, this wreck was absolutely horrible. She said, we were scattered out. It's like I said earlier. And she said, it looked like that couple of our children were just not going to live. She said, I was lying there on my back. And she said, I could tell I'm broken up all over. We're waiting for the emergency people to get there and all that. She said, my husband walked around and looked at all of the children, and he walked over there to me, and he got right down in my face, and he said, I'm a dead man. It impacted his very consciousness with such power, he didn't speak out of his mind. He spoke out of his heart, and he was dead in less than a week. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's when things come to pass.
2017 is Kenneth Copeland Ministries' 50th year of ministry. We want to say thank you, partners. As a family, as a ministry, as partners, we have together preached the uncompromised Word of God, as the Lord told Dad, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. That Word has brought freedom and peace to millions of people all over the world. In today's broadcast, my dad will tell us how faith grows when you speak the Word. It's that simple. We don't need to complicate it. In fact, when we complicate it, we mess things up. I want to encourage you today to listen with your heart. You know, I love to let Jesus diagnose me. And so today, just as you sit listening to this teaching, be sure to let Jesus show you what's going on in your life, show you something new, show you what you need to be saying. Coming up next are some milestones from KCM's 50 years of ministry. Then I'll be back to pray with you after the message.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 50 years of ministry.
There is no price too big, no effort too great, no job too hard for our God to reach our children. And whatever we must do, we're going to reach our kids. Praise God. We are the communication generation. I'll tell you, we're going to be held responsible by God Almighty for having all of this technology that He's provided for us to get the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds and into our mouths. Amen.
Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man among you the measure of faith. Every born-again believer, according to Ephesians 2:8, we are saved by grace through faith, which is what? The gift of God. God gave you, or God dealt that measure of faith to you and to me. How? We heard the word concerning Jesus. We believed it. Thank God, and faith came. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, you received exactly the same measure of faith that I received. Exactly the same measure. God is not a respecter of persons, and He started us all off with exactly the same measure of faith. Amen. Brother Copeland, I just need more faith. No. No, not really. You need to strengthen and grow the measure you have. Well, Bill, I'll tell you what I need. I need some more muscles, man. More muscles? I mean, are you short? No, but I just need. I need two arms. That's what I need. No, dumb. You don't need. Excuse me. You don't need two arms. You need to do something with the one you got. Amen. Hallelujah. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Jesus' own disciples said, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd plant it. Plant what you have. Use what you have. Sow what you have. It'll grow. Hallelujah. You remember that the Apostle Paul said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Amen. Some people have never done anything with faith. Some are just now finding out they have some. Amen. And the problem is faith grows by words. Faith is fed by words. And being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only is the exercise that strengthens faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith always comes. It comes automatically. You don't have to help it along. But you do have to be feeding on the word and not some religious idea. Amen. Amen. Soul food is not just, you know, black-eyed peas and cornbread. Which that's pretty good, but I mean, you know. But the mind, the soul, the mind and the intellectual and emotional part of you must be renewed by the word. But it must be fed. Every living thing, God created every living thing on this planet to need nourishment. And He's provided the nourishment for every living thing. Amen. Now, there is nourishment for the spirit or the heart of man. Now, when the Bible is referring to believing with the heart, it's not talking about your blood pump. You couldn't believe with your physical heart any more than you could your spleen. Or, you know, your gallbladder or something. I mean, I believe in my liver. No. It's talking about the reason it's called the heart is because it's the control center. You talk about the heart of a subject. It's the most important thing about it. You talk about the heart of a tree, the center of that tree where the life of the tree is centered. The heart of man is the hidden man of the heart, the spirit being. Trust God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The understanding is the intellectual part of a person. Now, that part needs to be fed, but it needs to be fed intellectual food, not intellectual candy. Amen. And you feed the spirit man on the word of God, not religion. Now, when you feed the soul with proper intellectual food, and I'm going to say most of it, a diet on the Word of God. Put the Word of God first place before you go into other areas of using and training the intellect. Yeah. Amen. Because an intellectual person that doesn't know God is uneducated. If you don't know God, you're uneducated, brother. Amen. But proper education for the soul produces a strength called willpower. You get strong in your mind and your will and your emotions, and you get strong there. You're not a mental weakling, and therefore your physical body is not weak. But what about the spirit man? Oh my. The spirit man feeds on spirit food. The physical man feeds on physical food, food of like kind. Yes. The soul or the intellectual part feeds on intellectual food, food of a like kind. The spirit man feeds on God's word. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Amen. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the spirit man, a strong spirit of a man, will sustain him in times of trouble and bodily pain. Amen? That's scripture. So, but when the spirit man is feeding on spirit food, which is the word of God, not religion. Religion is spiritual candy. And it don't work. You have to memorize religion. Because it doesn't work. Amen. You just have to really remember how this thing works. Because it doesn't produce. Well, I'm not going any further than that. But faith is the spiritual force produced in the human heart by the Word of God. Isn't that good? And it is called the Word of God in the book of James is called the perfect law of liberty. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It will make you free. There was a young preacher years ago that later became a very, very good friend of ours. But he came to my mother's prayer group. And, oh, listen, my mother could be tough on you, brother. And she started a prayer group, and it gets so big, you couldn't, on Monday nights, you couldn't get anywhere close to her house. And after about a couple of years, they'd turn it into a church, and she'd turn it over to a pastor and wait 2 or 3 years and start another one. Church after church came out of her prayer groups on Monday night. Well, this young Baptist preacher, someone brought him there for her to pray for him. He said, my grandfather died of heart trouble. My daddy died of heart trouble, and I got a bad heart now. She said, tell me the truth about that. Now, he's telling me this story. She said, he said, lady, I just told you the truth. My granddaddy died of heart trouble. My daddy died of heart trouble, and I got a bad heart now. She said, I told you, can't you just see her doing this, Billy? I told you to tell me the truth about that. He said, lady, I told you the truth about it. And he told me, he said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said, she slapped me on both sides of my head and said, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is the, boom, the truth about that. Oh, he said. She saw death on him. And she saw that he was about to die. And she didn't have time to, she didn't have time to talk to him. She didn't have time to mess around with him. She had to break through what he'd been told all of his life. That the Hester men die of bad hearts. Well, I walked into a motorcycle shop. And he was sitting on a stool there in that shop. And he was on the phone, and he saw me and said, come in, let me sit. He hung up. He said, Kenneth, today is my 60th birthday. And he said, I just took a physical. And he said, that was my doctor giving me the results of the physical. He said, I got the heart of a 16-year-old kid. Glory to God. Amen. And I had the very distinct privilege and honor just a few months ago to be part of the his homegoing service. Glory to God. And what? Anybody tell me how old Jimmy Hester was when he went home to be with the Lord? 86. Yeah, I knew he was in the 80s. 86. And he was supposed to be dead by the time he's 55. But Mama slapped him. Yeah. I've been on the other end of that a time or two myself. Boy, she hit him. I mean, she got through to him. Made him mad and made him glad all at the same time. Well, see, he was in the habit of saying this. He'd been saying it. His mother had been saying it to him. And he'd been saying it. Oh, you know, all us Hester men die young with heart trouble. And yeah, you know, that's what we do. It's in our family. We all die. You can talk yourself to death. Most people do. One way or the other. But when Mother really broke through that, and suddenly he saw what that spirit had been doing to him. Yeah. And he saw what was happening. He turned it around. And he began to quote Isaiah 53. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Surely, surely he has borne my griefs and my sorrows and my sicknesses and my pain. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. He started saying that, and it turned it around. It turned it around. What's he doing? He's speaking God's words. Now go with me to the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to notice now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, or our confession, exactly the same word, Christ Jesus. Now, the word apostle means the one God sent. The word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. Amen. So now think about it. This is the calling of Jesus as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and his part of his job, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the one whom God sent and anointed to be the high priest of our confession. What we say, when we speak his word, put it in our heart, speak it with our mouth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the high priest of those words, and high priest comes from the word of administration. He is the administrator of heaven's kingdom. It is under Jesus' administration that you and I speak his words, and he has given us his word. When we speak his word by faith, he sees to it that it will come to pass, because he said it in Mark 11, 24. 23, he said, he believes in his heart what he says come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. And then he used it. Look at it again. Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, words, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say it. Therefore, I say to you. He just set it in motion forever right there. For you and me. Amen. Therefore, I say. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sometime and watch Jesus use his words. Daughter, I say unto thee, arise. Used his words as tools of deliverance and power. Made a point of his words. And he said, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray. Now this is our part. Believe that you receive them. Now this is his part, and you will have them. I believe, I receive. Now how hard is that? I believe, I receive. See, you can't feel faith. You may feel results of it, some of this. You can't feel it. When you get into the Word of God like you are right now, it comes automatically. Your spirit will begin to produce it. And you may not even be able to tell it. But it's coming. There's no such thing as faith that won't come. No, it'll come. The moment you said, I believe that's the truth, your faith just worked. It can't help it. It has to. When you made that decision with your mind that that is the Word of God and Jesus said that and I believe it, the minute you said, I believe it, your faith worked. Yes. That's how you got born again. That's how you got saved. Amen. And it worked.
I am so glad you joined us today because this is the day that the Lord has made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you may be thinking, oh, I don't feel that way. Well, you know, the Word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, when it doesn't feel that way or you're not sensing that or it's just not part of your story yet, you need to focus your attention on Jesus instead of the problems and the things going on to maintain that strength and encouragement. Well, in today's broadcast, my dad will help us settle some issues that will make us free. He titled this message, The Dangers of Unforgiveness. Now, the bright side to all this, my mom says all the time, you forgive and you go free. So you're going to like this message. Remember, you can download the free study notes and you can have these notes from today. Go to kcm.org/notes. But first, we want to share some highlights from KCM's 50 years of ministry. Then we'll get into today's message.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 50 years of ministry.
I have it in my heart to have a million partners in this world. I want us to be the devil's biggest nightmare. I mean, we're just taking the Word of God all over this world, and where God just has to say, Kenneth, you and Gloria, get it and go today. And we just out here we go, brother, right where he says go.
We were totally immersed in the Word of God. And that's where God has taken me back to, just total immersion in the Word. All the unnecessary stuff, just let the Word separate you from it.
South America.
Por todo Sudamérica.
Throughout all Central America.
Por todo Centroamérica.
The time is here.
El tiempo está aquí, ahora.
Open your Bibles with me this afternoon to the book of Galatians, beginning with the third chapter, please. We're still studying faith, how it works, so forth. We began in both of the services that I was privileged to conduct yesterday on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25, the Jesus classic teaching on the subject of God's faith and how it works. Well, if you're born again, thank you, Lord. Okay, hold your place there in Galatians. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. We found out yesterday, go to the 5th chapter, that Jesus said, have faith in God, and the cross reference says, have the faith of God. Now, how did you get the faith of God? Well, when you were born again, the Bible says that God has dealt unto every person the measure of faith. Well, Ephesians 2:8 says that faith, you're born again by grace through faith. It not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So He gave it to you, He dealt it to you, and we are born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by or which is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, for you not to have received the faith of God when you got born again, then you would have been born of a corruptible seed. If you were born when you're not made the righteousness of God in Him, then you got a corruptible seed. If the healing power of God is not in your spirit right now, then you got a corruptible seed because He sent His Word and it healed. Are you following me here with this? Now, this is very, very vital and important information. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look with me in the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man, that's talking about mankind, men and women, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I am a new creature. Glory to God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are of new. It's talking about everything about your spirit being, the real you. And all things, now this is not talking about your mind, this is not talking about your body, this is talking about you. Amen. All things, everything in there is of God. Whoa. Amen? Amen. You have faith, came from God. You have love, it's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Love, joy, peace. Whose peace? God's peace. Amen. Whose joy? God's joy. Peace. Long suffering and patience. Whose? God's. It's in you if Jesus is your Lord. Goodness, gentleness. Whose? God's. So your spirit being is an exact image of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Now that mind needs to be renewed with the mind of Christ. And now that body needs to be energized and trained to discern the difference between good and evil, like in the Hebrews chapter 5, so forth. But now, that without that information right there, the devil can pull the wool over your religious eyes and cost you everything you have. Now, would you say that that's precious? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what thrilled me so much about what Brother Winston just got through teaching and teaching us there a moment ago, the preciousness and the pricelessness of the anointing. Whoa. We are the body of Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. We're anointing carriers. And that's the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now, that then is going to come to be very important about what we're going to be discussing this afternoon. So, let's go now to the third chapter of the book of Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Well, no, let's. I did it again. I started reading the verse just above it, and I just want to read the whole chapter. But anyway, wouldn't hurt if you do that. Verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, I just heard the Lord speak this scripture to me. Where did we get our faith? All of you are real close. Jesus is the author of our faith. It's his. It belongs to him. And we belong to him. I got something else for you. He belongs to us. Jesus is God's gift to the world. This whole world and everybody in it owns Jesus Christ of Nazareth if they only knew it. God so loved the world. All sin, all sickness, all disease, all calamity, all human heartache is because of satanic hatred of the human race. Hallelujah. Oh, but God so loved the world. I tell you, sometimes I can just hardly take it. I think you ought to just stop and just love him and just give him praise for a moment. Whoa, glory to God. Now then, the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the glory himself, belongs to the church. Isn't that wonderful? Every born-again believer ought to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. I mean, that was the norm in the beginning. It still is. You can't change the norm. Amen. You can religiously foul it up. And that's what a lot of us did, didn't we? Praise God. But if I had time, we'd go over in there. I sure would like to. But that's another time. Now, back up here where we were. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law on the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, or what the Spirit had promised Abraham belongs to us. Now then, the fifth chapter and the sixth verse. Now we just read it. We just read some scripture there that puts a high value on faith, right? Amen. Hey, you know what's standing between you and being delivered from everything that curse of the law carries in it, which literally says all sickness and all disease. All of it, all sickness, all disease, everything nasty you can come up with is under that curse. But Jesus took that curse as if he had sinned every sin that there is. But he didn't. He took your sin, my sin, and took the curse for it. Amen. But the only thing that's standing between you and me and the deliverance of that is the force of faith. And when it isn't working, guess what is working? Huh? Now, yeah, Lord, you know me. Okay. All right, I'll do that. Put something in the marketplace there. We're coming right back to it. In fact, for in Jesus Christ, this is 5:6, circumcision availeth, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Faith which worketh by love. Now you remember Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever thing he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them, and. So we're not done yet. Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24, they don't stand on their own. They are standing on that 25th verse. And when you stand praying, now notice what he said, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them, and when you stand there praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Huh? Let your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to notice, let's start with this. Right there in the very first verse. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Now, All right, and I realize I'm a bit all over the place today, but this is not Faith 101 today. That was yesterday. Hold your place right there. Amen. And go back to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And look at the 14th verse. Excuse me. Galatians 5. Oh, that it does. It's better if you're not in Ephesians 5. So, you come over here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Romans chapter 13. And look at the 9th verse. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, put your eye on that right there and read it aloud with me. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Those were not suggestions. That's command. Amen? All right. Slip back over that Deuteronomy 28. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you will love your neighbor as yourself. I just preached myself happy. I went over the line right then. Glory to God. Can you see what the scripture is saying here to us? All right. Turn this, look over on the next page there to 15th verse. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all of his commandments and his statutes. All right, back up. It will come to pass, if you refuse Jesus and will not love your neighbor as yourself and love the brethren even as he loves the brethren, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. I don't know how to make it any more simple than that. It'll come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to walk in love, satisfying every commandment, then all these curses are going to come on you, and they are going to overtake you. Well, now that we know that, we know what we're going to do, right? We're making the decision today. I'm going to forgive. The faith of God will not work in an unforgiving heart.
This week, we've been growing and learning how faith works and how to put it into practice, just taking the limits off of our thinking. Well, today, my dad focuses our attention on the relationship between love and faith. So open your heart to receive fresh revelation of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know, he births faith in you, and he develops it. That's what that means. So remember to download the free study notes. Just go to kcm.org/notes. You know, many of you know that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is celebrating 50 years of ministry. This is our Jubilee year. So before we get into the message, we're going to show you some exciting milestones from the past few years.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 50 years of ministry.
The Lord say, it's happening. All the things we've been looking for, praying over, and just believing God for, in glory in my case, for the last 50 years, it's happening. It is a reality now. It's not something that's going to happen one of these days. Amen.
The time for the Latin world has come.
Ha llegado el tiempo para el pueblo latino.
Remember this,
Jesus is Lord.
Let's open our Bibles today. Let's go back to the book of Galatians, please. And let's look in the fifth chapter, the sixth verse. We're talking about faith, that faith works by love. It won't work without it. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, yesterday we talked about the dangers of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, well, yes, thank you, Lord. Turn with me to 1 John. First John is the book that actually reveals that God is love. Look at the fourth chapter. You need to take about 3 months and read the whole book of 1 John every day. Just add it to your Bible time. It's only five chapters. It will absolutely change your life. Amen. Now, verse 16, fourth chapter, we've known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, or growing, maturing, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfected, growing, developing love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. He that feareth is not developed in love. Amen. You remember what happened when Jairus was going with Jesus? I mean, they were pressed in together. I mean, they were standing there so close to one another. And they came and said, the death messenger came and said, your little daughter's already dead. Don't trouble the master any longer. Jesus immediately said, stop the fear. He didn't say, fear not, Jairus. Now, I want you to notice how he dealt with death. He didn't say, have faith, Jairus. He didn't say, confess something, Jairus. He said, stop the fear. Believe only, and she will be made whole. What happened? Perfect love standing next to Jairus got rid of fear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. See, in his presence, aware of him, whoa, there is no fear. But now let me tell you something. This is actually thank you, Lord. Now, look, you got to listen very carefully. You're going to have to go back and get the CD or get this. You're going to have to go back and download this and listen to it again and again and again. You need to be doing that out of this whole convention. I remember some years ago, right after the convention, well, this was 18 years ago or so, 19. And we had sold our place in Colorado, and so I had to go up there and get my motorcycle and bring it back home. Well, I mean, hey, you know what time of year it is here in Texas, Southwest Believers Convention? It's hot. And so I went up there, but see, I hadn't got to hear of Jerry and everybody, and back in those days it was tapes, you know. And we were definitely tapeworms. So, oh, man, I mean, yo, yeah. And so I left up there and rode that motorcycle back to Texas. And the second day when I got to Vernon, Texas, I got out and turned on my bike, hit the temperature gauge. She was even up 106. Now, the first part of the ride was pretty cool, because I was coming out of the mountains and all that. Oh, that last day, brother, it was brutal. And I started at 4:30 in the morning so you could get through Amarillo before daylight. I don't ever like to look at Amarillo and that whole country up there. The country, the Amarillo's got a lot of wonderful people in it, and it's one of the ugliest places you've ever seen. Forgive me, everybody, from Amarillo. I know you love it. I know you love. I love you, darling. I know you still love me. You understand? But it looked like the backside of the moon. You understand? Particularly if you come through there and it's over 100 degrees. So, anyway, I'm listening to all these tapes, and I got my cooler on my trailer, and I got a bunch of ice that's melting back there, and I dunked my towel in that cold water and wrapped it around my neck and stuck it in. You know, I'm doing good, man. I'm rolling. I'm cooling. And I am listening to Jesse and Jerry, and I'm coming down the highway. I listened to 15 tapes. By the time I drove into the driveway, Gloria came out and said, "Wow, you look good." I said, "Gloria, I'm so high in the Holy Ghost. If I didn't have a meeting next week, I'd turn around and go back. I never knew it was hot. Not with a frozen towel and 15 tapes, man. I mean, hey." Now, what did that have to do? Well, not much. But I knew you'd like to hear that. Yeah, it does. It has everything to do with it. When you put the word first place in your life, I'll tell you, it'll wipe out everything your flesh is trying to feel. It'll wipe out the hot weather. It'll wipe out your worries and all of that bull you've been thinking about for hours and hours that's killing you. Amen. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Now that's what Jesus told Jairus. Fear not. Stop the fear. Stop the fear. Believe only. Don't you purify your faith. You get that out of there. Don't you let that come at you. Now here's the thing. When you walk in unforgiveness, fear is there all the time. It's not just when suddenly you're frightened. That's just a manifestation of fear. You sitting there right now, and in this atmosphere, probably not worried about anything. But the few of you that are not hearing a word I'm saying. Because, see, fear is there all the time when you're not walking in love, because perfected love casts it out. And the moment you lose that, the moment you step out of that love walk, you're walking on the love line, and you're walking that narrow way, but you step out there, that's where the curse is. You take a step out of love, you've taken a step into Satan's territory. And he don't fight fair. Yeah, right. Neither do I, bless God. You take that sword and jam it in him. Plead the blood. Slam the blood of Jesus in his face. He just heard the whole New Testament at one time. Blood. Get rid of him. Right now. But the moment you step over that line, fear is right there. Worry is fear dependent, and worry is a sin, because the Bible says don't do it. It says cast all your worries over on him, for he cares for you. All right. Now then, thank you, Lord. We looked at, let's look at Mark. Perfected love, say it, perfected love, casteth out fear, because fear has torment. Well, you know who the tormentor is. Amen? Fear hath torment. The torment is in the fear. The fear isn't in the torment. The torment is in the fear. That's what fear is. It is the tormentor. The way God is love, Satan is fear. He is the most fearful. He is the most fearful living thing there is. He is charged. He is absolutely consumed with it. He can't be anything else. That's who he is. That's what he is. He's the tormentor. But now look, let me show you some. Stand up here, Chad. Turn around and face it. Now, put your, like you said, parade dress, like that. All right. Now, fear, the torment is in the fear. The tormentor has got to have something to hang on to. Now, he is Brother Teflon. He is so slick. Whoa.
I mean, they just ain't nothing, ain't nothing the devil can stick on him. Why? He ain't got no handles. Amen. Thank you, sir. I'm glad the Lord brought that up. That's a good picture for you to remember. And the moment you step out of love and that handle sticks out there, I repent in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not giving him anything to hang on to. I don't care what your feelings are doing. Your feelings are just going crazy, just going nuts. You tell your feelings what to feel. I mean, you may have both knees knocking together. I refuse to fear in the name of Jesus. You're going to be shocked at how weak fear is and how weak that pressure is that seems like it's just black and dark. Now, all of you that suffer from depression, that depression is a form of grief. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, sicknesses, diseases, weaknesses, and pains. Grief is a sense of loss. This is the reason the Bible says we're not a people without hope. So sorrow not. Don't be grieving. Helicopter, you don't understand. I know, sweetheart, I've been there. I've been in the depression part. I've been over in that place where you had to put away grief. Gloria's little brother was in a flaming truck wreck. And that was the whole family. We just got blindsided by it. And we'd have had to take hold of it and take authority over it because joy will replace grief. But the joy is in you. But you have to take it by faith. And you have to repent if you've got anything against anybody in this situation particularly. You better get rid of it right now because I'm telling you, grief opens the door and holds it open for the devil to kill. Amen. Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sorrow not is not a suggestion that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. No, that's a command. Anything the Word says don't do is a command. There's a reason why God said don't do that. Amen. There's a reason why He said do this. And He didn't tell you to do anything you can't do. Now, in yourself, you can't do anything. So forget that. You're not in yourself. You're in Christ Jesus. Amen. Grace has come alive in you. But it is by faith so that it might be by grace. Amen. Now, you go back and rethink and re-listen to what Creflo preached last night and then take that scripture in the fourth chapter of Romans, 16th verse. It is by faith so that it might be by grace. And faith worketh by love. No love, no faith. No faith, no grace. You're in a dangerous, dangerous place. And what was the key to it? The love of God. Or the lack thereof. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
And go ahead and smile while you're at it. All right. Thank you. Now, Lord, may I have permission to go on this? All right, yes, sir. All right. Mark 11:22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, from now on, when you see that, you say, have faith in God who is love.
So I'm going to have faith in the love. I just read you this 16th verse, the fourth chapter of 1 John. He said, we have known and believed the love that he has to us.
That's right.
Now you say, do you believe God loves you? And 99% of them will say, oh, yeah. And don't believe it at all. They mentally agree with it. There is something that mimics faith very successfully because it sounds good. It's bold. And it's mental assent. You've come to the place, you've heard this, you know this, that it's true. God loves me. Yes, yes, it does. Oh, yes, yes, it does. And then just put a little bit of pressure on you. Don't you care? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did you take my baby? God has never taken anybody's baby. He has never taken anybody. Never. The only person God ever made sick was Jesus.
That's right.
The only person he ever took was Jesus.
Yes.
Well, he took my baby. No, he didn't, sweetheart. No. He didn't do that. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief cometh to steal and kill and destroy. Out of ignorance, you and I mean, those of us that have been around long enough to learn a little, the more you learn, the more you find out how much you don't know. I mean, we still Ned in the first primer, men, when it comes to the spiritual law and all these things. But hey, this is the time. This is Jubilee. This is time to get in there and get all you can get while the river's flowing, brother. Just get it, dive in it. I mean, head first, totally immersed in the Word of God.
What does it take to hit a target with precision? You need the right equipment, instruction, and discipline. Your words are important. They have impact, point you in a certain direction, and determine your future. God's Word promises you a blessed life. Choosing to agree with His promises plays a critical part in accomplishing His plan for your life. Put God's Word to work with Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. God's Word is a living word. Speaking it in faith changes you and the circumstances around you. As you listen to this teaching, begin to speak God's Word out loud so you can hear it. His words, applied daily, make small goals and lifetime dreams become reality. No matter where you are in life, you can make powerful changes that will transform your future. Start today and target your words for His results. Be empowered to live blessed in every way. Request your free copy of Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results by Kenneth Copeland on MP3 disc or download from our website. Discover God's Word as your source for an abundant life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Ask for Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. Yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days.
If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't wait. Do it today. It's so simple. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I receive all that you've given me in your word. Life, health, freedom from debt, healing, freedom in my family, freedom in my mind. Lord, I receive those things as I receive Jesus into my heart. Jesus, come in, take my life, and do something with it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and heal my body and set my whole life ablaze for you in Jesus' name. I just had to throw that in because that's what he does. You're born again now. Faith is working in you right now, or you couldn't have prayed that prayer. That was what my dad was talking about today. Now you speak God's word by faith, and he will see to it that it comes to pass. Mark 11, 24 says that. It's a promise. And I know you want to know more about what you've been promised. I talked about some of that when you prayed. We have a free salvation package to send to you. It's a book called He Did It All For You, plus two brochures on how to study your Bible. It's easy to request your free salvation package today. Just go to kcm.org. Every day seek Jesus. Stay in his presence. And you will begin growing up spiritually. Your life will begin changing. Your thoughts will begin changing. Things will become new because you've got Jesus as a partner.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. November 9th through 11th, the Copelands invite you to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. And in 2018, April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. May 31st through June 2nd, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and today I want to share just a word with you. It's maybe not a typical offering scripture that you hear sometimes, but I believe it'll bless you. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, this is out of the Passion Translation. It says, "Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time." Full salvation. We have a full salvation. It's important that we understand that even what we see today, even as much as we've grown today, there is more that Jesus has for us, and he's unveiling it all the time. These things my dad is teaching, he's unveiling what belongs to you all the time. And when you sow your seed, you need to understand that even though you're sowing it, it's a limited amount that you sow today. God takes that and he does something bigger with it. How do we know that? Because we are promised that when we give, it will be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. We have been promised a return, 30, 60, 100-fold. These are parts of our salvation. Receiving financial blessing, when you sow for something, maybe you're sowing for your kids' lives, and you're believing for that, and your seed, you take it before God, and you honor him with that. Well, there's salvation in his word for you, for whatever you need. And I love the way this says this. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials, these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold. It says that gold is refined by fire, and your authentic faith is also refined by fire. I paraphrase that last bit for the sake of time, but when you sow your seed, you know God is taking it and working with it because his word says so. Partners, we appreciate you. Kenneth and Gloria and all of us at KCM, thank you for your prayers and your support. To watch this week's broadcast again, go to kcm.org or our Roku channel. It's free and available 24/7. Remember, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.